Be sure to tune into Immigration with Tamina Watson this and every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Immigration attorney Tamina Watson founded Watson Immigration Law here in Seattle and is a frequent speaker, author, and blogger who has appeared in Forbes, CNN, The Seattle Times, and much, much more. On her new radio show, Tamina will take all your questions live on air. Plus, she will discuss and provide insight into the latest immigration news and issues, as well as talk with notable personalities who have impacted U.S. immigration law or are notable immigrants themselves. Check out her new show, Tuesdays at 10 a.m., Immigration with Tamina Watson on Desi 1250 AM, radio that listens to you.
Good morning, Seattle. This is Tamina Watson on Immigration with Tamina on Desi 1250 AM. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. It is a cold morning out there, but luckily it's not snowing yet, so hopefully you got into work okay, only just shivering. But beware that Thursday is when we're going to see some snow, so stay warm wherever you are. This show is all about immigration. As you know, we talk about immigration updates, legal updates. This show is to inspire, educate, and inform you about immigration matters. We often will speak with notable immigrants or notable people making an impact on immigration. And in fact, today is one of those days where we'll be speaking with somebody, a notable person making an impact on immigration law. This show is all about you. How does immigration impact you? What are your questions? What do you want to know? And it's really about information that is going to help you. If you have questions, the studio phone number is 844-301-1250. That's 844-301-1250. Now, this year has seen a lot of news updates in immigration, and these were generally regulatory updates. For the most part, either updates created by memos, updates created by regulation changes. And it's been very interesting from the get-go in January when we saw changes come to the visa waiver process. So if you have family members traveling into the U.S., you may remember that they now have to go through some very detailed background checks about where they have traveled to in the past. So for all the way to a couple of weeks ago when we had some very significant updates to employment-based immigration, and I am going to dedicate a show to that in the coming weeks, so stay tuned and sign up to the blog so you can hear and learn when that show will be and make sure you tune in for that. But next year is really going to be a very emotional year because immigration law itself will be basically attacked, if you like. We don't know how the president-elect will change the law, but we do know from his rhetoric and all the things he's said so far that nothing good will likely come of it. And it really means that lawyers like myself have to be prepared to help you. What will help us help you, particularly me, if you follow me and follow all the work I do, it's all about how can I make the lives of my clients better. Tell me what you need. Tell me what your concerns are. Write to me at my email, which is info@watsonimmigrationlaw.com. You can write to me at the studio at contact@desi1250am.com. That's desi1250am.com. Please sign up to our blog, which is at our website, watsonimmigrationlaw.com, so you can be updated on news. You can also communicate through the blog too. But it's very, very important that you get in touch to share your concerns so I know what you need to know about and how to address those. The behind-the-scenes information that you perhaps should be aware of is immigration lawyers around the country, and of course, there's just a movement through various organizations between lawyers and non-lawyers on how to make things better next year, how to be prepared for what is to come. And I see myself as the somebody who can understand immigration law in detail and make strategy calls on those. So I'm working behind the scenes on those issues. So I'm very much on top of some of these issues. So please contact me if you have questions. And to take that note, you may remember that the city of Seattle held a Citizenship Day on Sunday, the 4th. I hope you attended. I saw some Desi faces, so I was very happy to see you there. But it was a very interesting and larger than expected event with 500 volunteers. Can you imagine 500 volunteers attending somewhere? This is the biggest event I've ever seen. And they served, or we served because I was there too, 320 something people who got advice on immigration and citizenship issues. The next event is going to be January 20th at the Key Arena, actually. That got announced yesterday, and it's going to have a lot more information. So it's very important you go to the website for the City of Seattle, which is www.seattle.gov, I&R Affairs, and it will help you get some information. So if you've just tuned in, this is Immigration with Tamina on Desi 1250 AM. Thank you so much for joining us. Today we have a notable guest joining us who is making lots of impact on the community. I'm very, very proud to announce that Congressman Rick Larson is on our show today. Before we speak with him, let me tell you a little bit about his bio. Congressman Larson is serving his 8th term in the U.S. House of Representatives. He represents the 2nd Congressional District of Washington State, which is north of Seattle and includes portions of Snohomish, Skagit, and Whatcom counties, and all of Island and San Juan counties. Congressman Larson is a leader on transportation and aviation, trade, and U.S.-China relations. He is a strong advocate for pro-growth policies that support innovation, job creation, and a strong economic foundation. The 2nd District is home to Boeing's largest facility, where workers make the 747s, 767s, 777s, and 787s, and the new Air Force KC-463 fueling tanker. The district is also home to the Naval Station Everett and Naval Air Station, where Whidbey Island, which serves a central role in the Defense Department's Asia-Pacific mission. Congressman Larson and his wife, Tia, are the proud parents of 2 sons, Robert and Pear, who represent the 5th generation of Larsons in the district.
Hello, Congressman. Hello. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for taking some time out and joining me today. Really, really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Well, you know, I know your time is very valuable and you have such a limited amount of time. I just want to dive into all the things I want to ask you. So first of all, congratulations on re-election. That's wonderful.
We had a great turnout and, you know, 64%+ voted for me. And it's a nice firm foundation to work over the next 2 years.
That's fantastic. Well, you know, our Desi 1250 community is thrilled about it as well. And, you know, while we're so thrilled about your re-election, many of our listeners are disappointed about what happened with the presidential one. And, you know, my show is all about immigration, and this is what I talk about. You have been a proponent for immigration reform over the years. You have supported President Obama's Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, and you were one of the co-sponsors for the Comprehensive Immigration Reform Bill. So we look up to you for all the guidance and advice you will have for us in the coming months and years. But one of the concerns that our listeners will have right now is the threat of deportation. And throughout the campaign, we heard about deportation for 11 million undocumented people, and recently that was said to be maybe 3 million people. Can the president-elect deport people without Congress's input?
The president-elect and the next administration can try to deport to 3 million people, but there is a cost to that. It's going to cost public taxpayer money to do that. So Congress does have the what we call the power of the purse to try to control, stop, or at least shape what the next president wants to do with regards to his plan to deport 3 million people. Another thing to think about, too, is one of my concerns is that even if he says he's focusing on, say, people who are into the country and who are undocumented, and of those undocumented folks, he's only focusing on others, those who have committed crimes other than being in the country illegally, who's to say that that is actually going to happen? And who's to say that he won't accidentally sweep up a few full citizens of the United States of America as well? I think that they, this next administration, has to be very careful about how they approach their plan, because I'm most concerned that they're going to be sweeping up people who really don't belong in the category they say that they're going to deport. And then you're putting people at risk of breaking up families. You're putting people at risk who are citizens who might get swept up in this as well. But we're going to have to push back pretty hard in Congress, because the president-elect will have some authorities to do that, but it's really a matter of the cost, and that's going to be very expensive, and you have to make some choices about what you spend your money on.
Well, you know, that's very valuable information, because I think what the listeners will be thinking about, it's going to happen, but what you're saying is there has to be some sort of process and assessment before action can be taken, even though he can do this without Congress. Am I right?
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think if there's any listeners who are affected by this, obviously any sort of legal support network that exists that can help them is important. But also, I think folks need to be sure that they themselves have their own, just have your own paperwork in order, so that you don't become, you know, one of the folks who are here legally and yet get swept up in this sort of what I would argue is sort of this broad brush attempt to deport folks out of the United States without any due process. That's my biggest fear, is that this administration is going to ignore due process rights of people, and we need to hold them accountable to that.
Well, I think rightly put. I mean, due process is going to be a concern going forward, I think, on immigration and maybe even other things. I'm going to move on to a different, somewhat similar but in different subject matter. Throughout the campaign, we heard that the president-elect had said he was going to have extreme vetting particularly for Muslim citizens and Muslim people in the country. And, in the past, after 9/11, there was a program called NASEERS that was introduced. Can this registry, if there were one, be done without Congress?
I don't think that it can be done without Congress. I think they might try to do something like this without Congress, but this is not an idea that seems to be set or based on any existing law or authority. And I would say, if they try to establish a registry, if they actually try to, it's bad enough that he's proposed this, and it is bad enough that he and his people who coming into the administration are stoking fears among the broader population about Muslims, and not just about Muslims, but Muslim Americans, our neighbors, people who are our neighbors. Mm-hmm. That's just wrong that they're doing this, and it's morally wrong. So Susan DelBene, Representative Susan DelBene, introduced the No Religious Registry Act, and it's to ensure that that a registry isn't set up. Her bill would prohibit the government from establishing or utilizing a registry for the purposes of classifying individuals on the basis of religious affiliation. I've also encouraged people to, if there is a Muslim registry, to sign up. I'm signing up if there is one.
Okay.
The best thing we can do as an act of civil disobedience is, have everybody sign up. And it would bring that system crashing down.
Fantastic. That's the best advice. Tell all our listeners to sign up and make sure that everyone signs up. Well, You know, thank you for telling us about the bill that Congresswoman Del Bene had introduced. I think our listeners needed to know that. And, you know, that gives us some comfort that all of you who are representing us are really looking out for us. I'm going to ask you about comprehensive immigration reform. You were one of the original co-sponsors for H.R. 15, which was really the version for the House of the bill that had passed in Senate. Given the current politics of things, what are your thoughts on immigration reform at the moment?
Well, first off, I'd say that we still, for those who want comprehensive immigration reform, we shouldn't compromise on that point. That even though this incoming administration may not want to have immigration reform look like what I want it to look like, we shouldn't start by compromising what our values or what our approach is. I believe that we need pathways to citizenship. I believe that people who are here in the United States who are working, they're paying their taxes, they're contributing to their community, they're not breaking the law, that we need to find a way to keep those folks here so they can continue being part of our communities and our economies. And I'm not sure that the incoming administration believes that same thing. So, again, the first thing is we should not compromise just because the incoming administration has a different idea about immigration.
Okay.
I think what we can expect is that you're going to probably see a lot of what we call security first bills, or you know, this idea about building a wall and having Mexico pay for it is silly. It's expensive, and again, you know, given that the Congress is going to be Republican, they don't like to spend money at all. So I'm going to make a pitch to them that spending money on a wall that Mexico is not going to pay for is not the best use of public money.
Yes. Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, the wall obviously became a fence after he won the election and talked about it. So we'll see where this goes. We don't have much time left, but I know one of the issues that is very close to your heart is climate change, and our listeners really are concerned about this issue too, particularly with the rhetoric that's going on with the president-elect. What do you expect on the climate change issue, and why is this important for the Pacific Northwest?
Well, I think that the president-elect may try to pull out or not implement this groundbreaking climate change agreement that President Obama put together in Paris that got major countries who are major contributors to global warming to agree on specific limits on emissions. And, we need to push back against the administration, the incoming administration, if they try to do that. Climate change is real. It's man-made. And there are things that we can do to slow it down and reverse it, but we have to do it now. And for the Pacific Northwest, it means a lot of things. We're having to think about when we think about the Puget Sound and the Pacific Ocean around the state. We have to think about ocean acidification, which is a direct result of climate change, and the impact of ocean acidification, that is more acid in the ocean, has a direct impact on fisheries, on what kind of fish we can catch and what kind of fish we'll be able to eat in the future. And that's fisheries is an important part of our economy in the Northwest. But I also think we have companies in the Northwest that are able to contribute to solutions to address climate change. And so, we can be a center of excellence for renewable energy and a center of excellence in helping to solve some of the problems that come with climate change. Regardless of what the next president does, we shouldn't pull back from that commitment.
Okay, wonderful. Well, you know, we don't have much time left. I do want to mention that if we can help you with anything that you need help with, you know, our listeners will be eager. So if there needs to be emails and calls and so forth to support an issue, you just need to let us know, because the next 4 years, we're sure that you're going to have to fight very hard for us, and we want to make sure that you have our help. Our listeners definitely want to hear from you. Is there anything you want them to know before I say goodbye to you?
I just would let them know that, you know, I'm one of 8 kids. I'm from a very big family. I got family all over the Pacific Northwest. My family came to the Washington State before it was a state in the late 1870s. We've been around a while. We haven't been around as long as some other families. But, you know, my family over its history is kind of a it is a bit of a story about the immigration success of the United States. And I think what I'd like your listeners to know about me is that I want that next generation of folks to have the same kinds of successes that my family has been able to have over the last 100-plus years in the United States, because our country has a lot to offer, and there's a lot of people out there who are new immigrants who want to offer a lot to the country, and I want to help them do it.
Well, thank you. We were just so honored to have you on the show today, and thank you for the words of wisdom and all the assurance you've given us and the guidance you've given us. And, you know, thank you so much for being here, and good luck with everything. And hopefully, you know, we can help you help us. Thank you so much,
right,
Congressman, for being here today.
Good. Let's keep talking. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And that was the interview with Congressman Larson. Obviously, he has so much wisdom to share, and he has imparted so much valuable information. And I want to piggyback on what he had mentioned there. He obviously told us that even though the president-elect would like to deport millions of people, it is going to cost a lot of money. And this is where Congress can take some action. And that's because without Congress's permission, the money that is needed to deport people will not actually be available. So I think it's very important for our listeners, all of you out there who are concerned about this issue, you call your congressman, your senator, your representative, and make known that this issue is important to you and you do not want people deported. What we ask our congressmen and senators, they want to listen to us. You know, we elected them and they want to ensure that our voices are heard. But if we do not actually air our voices, how would they know? And this goes for anything, actually. And in the next months and 4 years, it's going to be very important that your voice is heard on every issue that's important to you. So please take note of what Congressman Larson said and take some action on what you can do with your voice. What's also interesting is that, you know, he did say, let's not compromise on comprehensive immigration reform. Now, one of the things that's been a rhetoric for Republicans in general is having piecemeal immigration reform, which really means having a bill here and a bill there. And President Obama, in various speeches before, and I remember one Thanksgiving, he had mentioned saying, I don't care how that turkey is cut, you know, as long as all the pieces are there, that would work as well for comprehensive immigration reform. Now, it's important that we have all the pieces, whether it's in one bill or several bills, because they will all address the issues that need to be addressed. But why comprehensive immigration reform is important is because the ankle bone is connected to the knee bone, which is connected to the hip bone, and so forth. Every part of immigration is interrelated. And if you mess with one area, another area is going to be inadvertently messed up without actually having some attention to it. So again, your voice is important. Make sure that you contact your congressman, your senator, with any of the concerns you have, and especially if you have it on comprehensive immigration reform. And Congressman Larson mentioned that, you know, he expects to see security first bills. And, you know, from everything that we've heard on the campaign trail and since then, it definitely sounds like that is what will happen. Security first with the wall and so forth. So, listeners, that was a lot of information about what to expect in the coming months and years. We're running out of time, I'm afraid. But again, I want to remind you that this show is about you, for you, and your questions and comments are very, very important. Please email me at info@watsonimmigrationlaw.com. Even if you have feedback and thoughts, if there is an issue that you want me to discuss in a particular show, or a particular person you want to hear from, might be reaching out to them and asking them to come to the studio. So please email your thoughts and I'd be happy to oblige. If you don't know our website, the address is www.watsonimmigrationlaw.com, and you can find my information at desi1250.com as well. You know, just to keep in mind for the coming months, even though we have a president-elect who perhaps is not a big fan of H-1Bs, even though he has used them himself and perhaps even abused them. H-1B season is around the corner. And this is the time people start thinking about H-1Bs that are going in the lottery in April. So if you have questions on H-1Bs, you're very welcome to email us as well. But this is the time to think about it. If you are a student who's going to graduate soon, think about H-1B season as well. It's very important, particularly because it's a lottery and you may not win this year. You'll have to try again. So next week, we have a wonderful guest who will be at the studio itself, and it's going to be a very, very interesting and perhaps even emotional discussion. Make sure you have that on your calendar. Call into the show, 844-301-1250. It's all about the Muslim registry and how it's going to affect our Desi community. So please tune in. If you have questions in advance, you can email me at info@watsonimmigrationlaw.com. I will look forward to speaking with you again next week with lots of news updates and a wonderful interview. Don't forget to put on your calendar January 20th for the next Citizenship Day. This is Tamina Watson on Immigration with Tamina on Desi 1250 AM. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.